Morning.
Good morning.
For you all on the other side of the camera, we just watched some technical difficulties, and then you don't see it on this side, but watching our two IT pros, once they figured it out, look at each other and go. Welcome into the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this morning for the sermon titled GPS. Our scripture lesson today comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. And while you're looking that up, I was having lunch with a friend of mine today. This past week. He is a good Christian preacher for another denomination. But we were sitting there at lunch, and he would come in and sit down a little bit late. And after a couple minutes waiting for our food, he looked across to me and goes, "Paul, I wasn't a very good Christian this past week." And I said, "Clem, I need to hear this one." He said, "Well, you know, just up the road there at the big Rest Haven Cemetery, that's where my daddy and my mama are buried." I said, "All right, that sounds good." He said, "I went up there this past week to visit my dad and my mom, make sure the stone was cleaned off and all that stuff." And I said, "Okay, you need to get to the point here. Our food's going to be here soon." He said, "Well, I was standing there, and there was these two old women about three stones over just complaining about everything." And he said, "And I'd had enough of it." He said, "I looked down at the stone, at my parents' stone, and I said, 'I miss you so much. I love you.' And the two women caught sight of it. And they walked over, being the nosy busybodies they were, and they leaned over and looked at the pretty stone, and they were standing there. And one turned to me and said, 'You must be such a good son visiting your parents like that.' He said, 'Paul, that's when Christianity left me for a moment.' I said, 'Clem, what did you do?' He said, 'I stepped back and I looked at them for a moment and I went, huh, you two can see me. I didn't think that was possible.' He said, 'You ain't never seen two old women leave a cemetery so fast in all of your life.' You wait till I try that one. Be careful. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all nations, including the Amorites, who lived in this land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please join me? Father, we thank you for these words. We ask that we hear them the way you intend, and that they strengthen us, they give us hope, they lead us on forward, Father. They make us ready for the week to come. We know there is much turmoil outside these doors. Let this time be a place of peace and refreshment and lifting. And take us from here, Father. We thank you for this. We thank you for your Son. And we thank you for the grace and mercy and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. I don't know how in the world you can make a living as a mathematician. It's fascinating to me that somebody can take numbers, 2 plus 2 equals 5, right? No, 2 plus 2, or 8 times 7, or whatever. And they develop this into ways that they can look at things from a mathematical standpoint. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure how long ago it was, but a bunch of mathematicians got together and started trying to figure out how far they could take pi. Now, I know how far I can take pi. Now, I can take pi from the refrigerator to the plate to the table. But they figured pi, 3.4, to the millionth power or millionth .5 power. I don't even want to try to figure that out. And there are people that do that. And Gladys was a mathematician. And she was not just a mathematician. She was a mathematician in a world where she did not belong. Number one, she was a woman. A mathematician woman in the 50s and 60s in a world dominated by men. Even more so, Gladys was black. But Gladys was super duper smart. Gladys sat down and figured out, are you ready for this? How to measure the earth, the size of it, the distances, the way it moved. She figured that out. I just thought it was just a ball, but apparently there's a lot more to it. And Gladys became connected with a man named Roger. And Roger was a physicist. And do you know what they do? They figure out why things are. How the universe came into existence. They sit and study that kind of stuff. They study things like dark matter. You know what dark matter is? I don't either. They figure out what string theory is. Do you know what string theory is? Well, I can happen to tell you I have a little bit of knowledge of what string theory is. If you've ever been a farmer in the middle of the summer when it's as hot as it can be and you're trying to bale and the baler breaks down and you're there looking at that knotter trying to figure out what happened, that's string theory. Because all you want to do is string that baler up and shoot it. But these people figure this stuff out. And he thinks about how string theory interacts. And the truth of it is how a point goes to a point, comes back, and bends and shapes accordingly. And these two people met each other while they were studying things. And they were working for NASA and they were trying to develop programs to make life work better and understand how the earth rotated and how we can work within it. And in the middle of all that, they came up with a program to, quote, give protection and direction. Protection and direction in the 60s. And they began to work on it. And it must have been something else to sit down and figure all this out. Because sometime in the late 60s, early 70s, they came up with what they needed. And on June 23rd, 1977, Temation 4 flew into space and began orbiting. So that one thing could happen from Temation 4, one thing could happen from that satellite to me 40-some years later. Are you ready? I would hear these words. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. You're off course. Turn around. And then me, somewhat educated, would start arguing with the dash in my car. I'm not off course. You're off course. I've driven this road 500 times. In 1978 came GPS. GPS. Global Positioning Satellites. And now, when you want to know how to go somewhere, what do? Let me type it into, as my dad would call it, the GPSer. Dad, what's that? That's that thing there on my phone that tells me where to go. And I, being me, said, I thought that was mom's job. And my dad didn't think that was funny. How many people in this room routinely use GPS? Say amen. Put your hands up, say amen. Everybody does it. All right, now I want to talk to the men for a minute. This is strictly for the men. By show of hands, men, how many people use the GPS? All right, come on, men, put your hands up. How many men in this room, when you type in where you're going, see what time you're supposed to get there and see that as the ultimate challenge? Oh, I can beat that by 2 minutes. Say amen, because if you don't, you lie. My sons will come home and tell me, Dad, I beat that GPS by 5 minutes, and I'm so proud of them. I'm like, I could have done it in 7. I'm older. I got more insurance, so the tickets won't hurt as much. But we've abandoned a map in favor of something electronic and trusting on it. It's supposed to keep us on the straight and narrow. And you know what the straight and narrow is? Paul, in writing to Timothy, wrote these words in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, one of my favorite verses. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's how you stay on the straight and narrow. That's how you figure out what's right and what's wrong. That's how when you're sitting down to plan out anything that you do, your brain automatically is wired into that, especially if you have now become a Christian. You think about it from that lens. That's not the way it should be, or I shouldn't do that. Or now, does that mean that we stay perfectly straight, right down the line, following everything just as we should? No. That's why you get that message. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. You're off course. I thought it was funny the other day when I was thinking about and I was listening to that thing. I'd like to be able to change the voice in that system to make me listen to it better. Now you can. You can change it from a man to a woman. You can change it from English to French to German to Italian. And I was looking through all the options. And so I'm going to write to the company and ask them why they don't have Appalachian American in there. Or as I would like to call it, Hillbillyese. You know, that way when I got off course, that thing would scream at me, "Hey, why are you taking this road, dummy? Turn around and go back." I don't think they're going to listen to me. But I do know one thing. It's not always accurate. If you plug in my address, the house where Wendy and I live, our address, if you plug it in and push go, it does not take you to our house. If you plug in my dad's address and push go, it does not take you to his house. It takes you somewhere close to it, but it does not take you right to the front door. And I got to wondering to myself, when I was listening to this person this past week talk about the gospel and how the gospel was not written for this generation. Boy, what the ears went forward. The old GPS stopped moving. Everything in my mind locked onto this. Oh boy, here we go. This person said that this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was written for the generation at that time. That trying to apply the principles of then to now do not work. We have to look at, quote, the gospel from a holistic standpoint and understand that it is more of a guide than anything. No, it's not. It is the direction. It is our GPS. And I don't mean global positioning satellite. I mean God's protection system. That's what GPS stands for to me. In this scripture, the Israelites, in the beginning scripture in Joshua, they got forevermore off course. And they began to worship everything they found. Golden calves and snakes and money and each other and gods. And they saw things differently. They got lost in the fact that when their forefathers were worshiping these gods, life was easy. And now suddenly they got taken out of Egypt. They got taken out of the slavery for which they wanted to for years and years and years. And once they got loose, they got scared. They didn't realize that they were under GPS the whole time. And Joshua has to come back and remind them after they have failed again and again and again. And he utters those famous words back to verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Faithfulness, that's the key word. You serve him faithfully. You listen to what he says. You pay attention. Throw away the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the river, and in Egypt serve the Lord. But if in serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose. You're free to. Pick whomever you want. Do whatever you want, but know this, me and my house, we serve the Lord. And that's it. And the people who realized what was going on, the scripture goes on to note that they started to tell him, no, we get it, we got it. We saw the Red Sea parted. We saw the rocks turn into bread. We saw manna fall from the heaven. We saw all these wonderful things. We saw everything. We messed up. We're sorry. Please recorrect us. Please change our course once again. Please remind us that we were protected by God throughout the entire journey. We were under His GPS. We will serve Him. I need to remind myself every now and then of that, that I serve the Lord. And I had questions along the way. And I still have questions now. And when I hear other people telling things like, you know, we're all saints now. Anyone who has taken the time to understand the gospel and read on Jesus Christ, you're actually a saint here on earth. No, you're not. Believe you me, I'm not a saint. You don't believe me? Ask Wendy. She'll explain that to you real quick. Or the statement I heard a couple weeks ago, because I watch all this stuff now with great fascination, that God didn't really want the devil to leave. He wanted him to change his way. You're telling people that kind of stuff, and you're taking them out from under the protection. Brothers and sisters, we need to daily remind ourselves who we serve, why we serve, where we serve, when we'll serve, which is all the time, and be in the house of the Lord. We will serve Him. Amen? Why? Because you fear Him. Not that you're scared to death of Him, but that you fear the fact that you could lose everything if you don't pay attention to His sound reason. And because of that, because we do, even when it seems like we're not, we're protected. We're watched over. Lori Anderson, who was a missionary to the head-shrinking Candoshi Sherpa Indians of Peru, was looking for her daily quiet time. Yes, you want me to read that again? The head-shrinking Candoshi Sherpa Indians of Peru. She wanted a place to study her Bible and do her daily reading. So she went down to the edge of the river and she took the Bible, read for a while, and then closed her eyes and began to go through her prayer list. With her eyes closed, she didn't see what was coming. And the gigantic, deadly anaconda was weaving through the water until it saw its prey. And it came up out of the water and struck and put its fangs deep in her flesh. It withdrew to strike her again, hitting her arm again and again and again. Screaming, it began to coil around her and reared up for the death blows. Now, I happen to know that once they get locked onto their prey, the reticulated anaconda, which means the jaw opens up and they've got fangs, bites at its prey. It's no venom, but it does it to paralyze that so it can wrap around the coils. And as you scream and breathe out, it just merely tightens up until you cannot breathe anymore. And then at the last moment, it will strike you to take the final blow. They're a dangerous snake. And it had her locked in. Then suddenly, for whatever reason, the giant snake, never known to cut its prey loose, relaxed and slithered off into the water. While Lori was being treated, a witch doctor from a nearby village burst into the hut and stared at her. She couldn't believe what Lori had survived. She said her son-in-law, also a witch doctor, had chanted to the spirit of the anaconda that morning and sent it to kill the missionary. I'm certain, Lori said, that except for the protection of God, it would have worked. Now, we're not all quite in those type of situations all the time, but our protection, our watch over, our oversight comes from God, comes from His GPS, comes from His God's protection system. And do you know what His protection system is? We ever heard the description of it? For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. You know the rest, say it. That whosoever should believeth in Him That's right. That's how we know it's real. That's how we know we were protected. That's how we know that everything in our lives is watched over by God. And if we would just simply pay attention every now and then and make sure that we constantly remind ourselves, we'll be safe. Maybe not here, but we will be safe. As for me and my house, all of us will serve the Lord. Walter Wyatt Jr. was in his airplane flying from Nassau to Miami in 1986. Now, while he was down there in Nassau, the thieves broke into his Beechcraft twin-engine airplane and stole the navigation equipment. Walter thought he was a pretty good pilot, so he had a handheld radio and a compass. And he decided he would just fly home using a compass, a handheld radio, and an airplane. Yeah, what could go wrong? When the compass began to gyrate, he concluded he was headed in the wrong direction. He flew his plane into clouds, hoping to spot below the clouds, hoping to see something, but as soon as he did, he knew he was lost. He started putting out his mayday call, which a Coast Guard Falcon search plane led him to an emergency landing strip only 6 miles away. He was going to be safe. Suddenly, the right engine coughed out and died. The fuel tank was empty. The second engine let go, and at 8 p.m., he flew into the water. That's all there was left. He survived the crash and watched as his plane disappeared, leaving him bobbing in the water in a leaky life vest. He had a little blood on his forehead where he smacked his head on the steering wheel from the hard crash. And while he was sitting there floating, waiting to be what he hoped would be rescued, something bumped against him. Uh-oh. A shark had found him. Wyatt kicked at the intruder and wondered if he would survive the night, and he managed to stay afloat for the next 10 hours. In the morning, Wyatt saw no airplanes, but in the water, a dorsal fin was headed toward him. Twisting, he felt the shark brush against him again. In a moment, two more sharks showed up. Then three, now six, circling him. He didn't know what to do anymore and just waited. Then suddenly, a half a mile, he heard a sound of a distant aircraft, and he waved his orange vest, and the plane radioed to Cape York, which was 12 minutes away. Get moving, we've got him, and he's surrounded by sharks. When the Cape York pulled alongside Wyatt, he climbed up the Jacob's ladder, landed on the deck, and began to kiss it. He had been saved. He didn't need encouragement or better electronics or better techniques. He needed nothing other than the sure intervention of protection that would save him from death. Brothers and sisters, that's what we have. We have God's protection system, and we are saved. He placed me and you here. And I would ask simply that in this week to come, as you hear what will undoubtedly be a barrage of stupidity, that you just simply roll back a few steps and remind yourself, you serve the Lord, He loves you, He protects and guides you, and nothing else can take you away from that. Nothing else can take you away from GPS, God's protection system. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessings. We thank you for the reminder of what we have and what we are. We ask that those who are searching for a way out of the turmoil and confusion and trials and tribulations, stop. Listen to the voice saying, turn around, follow me. Not the one in the dash or on their phone, but the one that comes from you, Father. That still small voice seeking us to return back. Father, guide us with everything that you have. Give us the knowledge, the path to walk, and help us stay on it. Let us be in full study of you and remind ourselves that by the spilt blood of Jesus Christ and our admission that he is our Savior, our house will always serve the Lord. Thank you for looking after us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, if you have a particular need, I invite you up forward. The bench is open. And if you do not know where you're going today, today is a good day to find out. And I ask you, if you don't know Him, when will you come to know Jesus Christ and be saved? May God bless each and every one of you.